Hamza Parijaya Acharya Sarasat, Venerable C.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Parvati. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shushi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 38. Yana Shavishvara Vigrahasya.
Yana Shavishvara Vigrahasya.
Yaha Sandesha Patito Mayati.
Yaha Sandesha Patito Mayati.
Sandaryate Smin Vapushi Stavishte. Manaha Swabhudhya Nayato Stikinchit.
Manaha Swabhudhya Nayato Stikinchit.
Yana Shavishvara Vigrahasya.
Yana Shavishvara Vigrahasya.
Yaha Sanivesha Katito Mayate. Sandaryate smin vapushi stavishte.
Sandaryate smin vapushi stavishte.
Manasvabhudya nayato stikinchit.
Manasvabhudya
nayato stikinchit. Yasan Vishesha Patito Mayate. Sandaryate Smin Vapushi Savishte. Manasasvabhudya Nayato Stikinchit. Translation and purport by Zavangir Srila Prabhupada. I have just explained to you the gross material gigantic conception of the personality of God. One who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind on this form of the Lord, because there is nothing more than this in the material world. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, has verily explained that the material nature is only an order carrying agent of His. She is one of the different potencies of the Lord, and she acts under the direction only. As the Supreme Transcendental Lord, He simply casts a glance over the material principle, and thus the agitation of matter begins, and the resultant actions are manifested one after another by six kinds of gradual differentiations. All material creation is moving in that way, and thus it appears and disappears in due course. Less intelligent persons with a poor fund of knowledge cannot accommodate the thought of the inconceivable potency of Lord Sri Krishna, by which he appears just like a human being. Bhagavad Gita 9:11. His appearance in the material world as one of us is also his causeless mercy upon the fallen souls. He is transcendental to all material conceptions, but by his unbounded mercy upon his pure devotees, he comes down and manifests himself as the personality of Godhead. Materialistic philosophers and scientists are too much engrossed with the atomic energy and the gigantic situation of the universal form, and they offer respect more seriously to the external phenomenal feature of material manifestations than the nominal principle of spiritual existence. The transcendental form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of such materialistic activities, and it is very difficult to conceive that the Lord can be simultaneously localized and all-pervasive, because the materialistic philosophers and scientists think of everything in terms of their own experience. Because they are unable to accept the personal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is kind enough to demonstrate the virat feature of his transcendental form. And herein, Srila Sukadeva Goswami has vividly described this form of the Lord. He concludes that there is nothing beyond this gigantic feature of the Lord. None of the materialistic, thoughtful men can go beyond this conception of the gigantic form. The minds of the materialistic men are flickering and constantly changing from one aspect to another. Therefore, one is advised to think of the Lord by thinking of any part of his gigantic body, and by one's intelligence only, one can think of him in any manifestation of the material world. The forest, the hill, the ocean, the man, the animal, the demigod, the bird, the beast, or anything else. Each and every item of the material manifestation entails a part of the body of the gigantic form, and thus the flickering mind can be fixed in the Lord only and nothing else. This process of concentrating on the different bodily parts of the Lord will gradually diminish the demonic challenge of godlessness and bring about gradual development of devotional service to the Lord. Everything being a part and parcel of the complete whole, the neophyte student will gradually realize the hymns of Isha Upanishad, which state that the Supreme Lord is everywhere, and thus he will learn the art of not committing any offense to the body of the Lord. This sense of God-mindedness will diminish one's pride in challenging the existence of God. Thus one can learn to show respect to everything, for all things are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Hare Bol. Om Gyana Timrasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Sakshanantam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Bina Maha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishraya Bhutu Shumati Sattva Paskutu Sattva Pavanda Vindana Shadu Vishnam Bhavi Vyantana Vanavas. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishraya Bhutu Shumati Vakvedanta Swami Nami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Pachami Nirvijesha Shumivadi Pashutari Satami. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shudaita Garada Shivasadi Gauravan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Bol.
So we're continuing the topic on the Virat Rupa of the Lord, this magnificent feature, and it's a wonderful feature. This Virat Rupa is very gigantic, and for one that likes to see things in a grander way, then this is the real form. But Srila Prabhupada started out by explaining that the Lord has inconceivable potencies. through his multifarious forms, his incomprehensible potencies, in one sense. Actually, Lord Brahma was speaking to Narada, and he says, even the Lord himself sometimes gets bewildered with his potencies. And much less Brahma or Lord Shiva, who are some of the greatest controllers in this world. They also get bewildered by the multifarious potency of the Lord. Nami vidu suragana prabhavam na maharishaya aham adir hi devanam maharishayo cha sarvasaha. I am the source of both the demigods and the great sages, for in every respect, the demigods and the great sages don't know of my origin. For in every respect, I am the sources of both the demigod and the great sages. So you can imagine that even the demigods and the great sages, they are bewildered by this potency of the Lord. Lord Shiva, who is one of the greatest controllers, he is bewildered. Lord Brahma, the demigods, so much less ordinary mortals like us. It's not easy to fathom this potency. And not only that, but what about the layman, the ordinary man? That is difficult also. And then he's saying the fools and rascals, where he quoted this verse, and well, he stated the verse in Bhagavad Gita. 9:10, I think 9:10 is Madhyakshena Prakriti. In my unmanifested form, I pervade and control this whole universe. That's the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted in Bhagavad Gita there. And ordinary men would not understand this, because then he quoted the other verse, Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajanti mam muda. Avajanti mam muna va tanum ashutim. But anyhow, that one is saying that foolish men deride me when I descend in human form. They cannot understand my superior nature. So this form, to actually comprehend that the Lord has a form just like us is very difficult, and yet maintain the whole material and spiritual universe. That is incomprehensible for an ordinary man. So that's why he says fool. But Krishna's original form is Manushyam Rupa, which means his feature is like a man, ordinary, you know, it seems so. Manushyam, the Manushyam Rupa form, which is the two-handed form, that's his greatest and most powerful form. And a lot of the world, I mean even religionists, cannot conceive of this. You know, how can a person just like it? But Krishna has demonstrated over and over, even as a child, he was doing so much mystical things. You know, he was killing all the demons, putting this, that, you know, breaking the cart, showing his mom the whole universe with him. So even though he has this seemingly small personal feature, but that feature pervade and control both the spiritual and material world. See? Then he is Chaturbhuja Rupa. He has a 400 form. Then he is Paramatma Rupa. He is within the heart, 8 inches. See? And then he is Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa is the form for the foolish men. Stated here, Vishwarupa is exhibited to give lesson to foolish men that the Lord has a huge form showing the entire universe. And then Srila Prabhupada emphasized here that the materialistic philosophers and the so-called scientists, they like to focus on this feature. But not, I mean, maybe some scientists, but most scientists just like to focus on the material energy, you know, and even dismiss his presence. But the materialistic philosophers, they like to think of things in a grand way. The mountain, the rivers, the valley, see, the vastness of the universe, all these things they're amazed by. And they would like to see that these things represent the Lord. So then the Lord exhibited this Virat Rupa feature. And for the scientists, well, they look at his energies and try to understand. The astrophysicists, they look at the greatness of the universe and they try to understand its origin. The microbiologists look at the innumerable varieties of life and like to think about its origin and its variegatedness. See, like that. And then you have the paleontologists also like to think about how life originated. And they try to do this by studying the fossil records and so forth. So all these personalities are trying to understand what is taking place in the universe. They are bewildered by all these things. And so the Lord, he himself gave us some ideas about his nature. He says, Bijaman Sarva Bhutanam, I'm the original seed of all existence. Rasoham Apsu To Kunti, I'm the taste of water, I'm the light in the sun. Balam Balavaham Chaham, I'm the strength of the strong. Bijam Taraham Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existence. Mrityu Sarva Harashtaham, I am all devouring death. Kalosmi Loka Kashaya Krit Pravridu, time I am the great destroyer of the world. Aham Hi Sarva Jagyanam, I am the only enjoyer, the master of all sacrifices. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. So the Lord is telling us of his superior powers, his inconceivable nature. See? He is everything. He is in everything. And then he's a part of everything. He's apart from everything. He's in everything, he's everything, and then yet I am a part of everything. How it goes. Nacha Matstani Bhutani Pashya Me Yogam Ashvayam. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyaktam murchitam. Matstani sarvani bhutani nachaham tesha avishtita. By me in my unmanifested form, This entire universe is pervading. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. See? Then he says, Etadyo nini bhutani sarvani upadharyaya. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So the Lord gives us some hint about his inconceivable and super wonderful potencies and nature. And so in this way we can able to understand what he has revealed to us. And so let us come to the other aspect, the Virat Rupa form. This Virat Rupa form is also very amazing, because in one sense it's stated that it is illusionary. You know, sometimes it's mentioned as illusionary. But that very illusionary form, Lord Krishna manifests as reality. When he says, behold my mystic opulence, take a look at this universal form, Arjuna. But before you can look at it, I have to give you divine eyes. See? So when he gave him divine eyes, Arjuna saw the whole cosmic manifestation on the body of the Lord. Then he woke up to his senses, you know. Then Arjuna started to get bewildered, really. He started to Daivi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapad Utita. If hundreds and thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. Then Arjuna, humbling himself, says, Saketi matva prasadham yad uktam, He Krishna, He Yadava, He Saketi. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend. Not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or eat together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all these offenses. So Arjuna, when he saw that Virat Rupa, and Arjuna is an exalted pure devotee of the Lord, and yet he was bewildered. So just imagine ordinary men, you see? Just imagine the ordinary men. And so when the Lord manifests this Virat Rupa, it was very bewildering. Very bewildering. And so Arjuna came to his senses. So now we will go to the Virat Rupa form, right? And we'll discuss a little bit of it. The Virat Rupa form has been explained in the Bhagavad Gita in this chapter 2, verse 1. But then, little after, chapter 2, verse 5, Brahma again expounded on the Virat Rupa form. And then it went on to chapter 6. And he again explained about it. Then it was explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 3, 6, 18 again. The Virat Rupa was explained. Then Bhagavatam 5.23, 5 again it was explained. Then 8.1.2 it was explained again. Then 11.22, 18 it was explained. In other words, every time creation is being explained. Every time creation is being explained, this Virat Roop comes into action. Because it's stated that when the Lord first, there is the Mahatattva, and the Lord glances over it, and then everything starts to manifest. He expands as Karana Dakshashayi Vishnu? Yeah, I think it's Karana Dakshashayi Vishnu. And then from that aspect, the Virat Roop would manifest when innumerable hands and legs and so forth. And it's stated that it's part of creation. Because also Brahma was explaining here that that it is from the source of the Virat Roop. All our senses and everything are manifested. From the feature of the Virat Roop, everything is manifested gradually, from subtle to gross. And so because it is the source, then everything within this material world is manifested. And then he started to give some examples. So then we can even do a little brain teaser. There's another word. What's that word, stated? Brain. What's the other word?
Brainstorming,
that's the word, man. You beat Stita D to the punch there. Brainstorming. So how is that? When we see the mountains, what part of the mountain is the Virat Roop? Who could say? The mountains are the stack of bones of the Supreme Lord. The sun, what is the sun? The eyes of the Supreme Lord. The moon is the mind of the Supreme Lord. The lower planetary system is his lower body, his legs. The middle planetary system is his middle body. And then the higher planetary system is his upper portion of his body. Then the trees, if you look around everywhere, the trees are his hairs on his body. So actually, the whole universe, if we analyze it little by little, we see the Supreme. We see the trees and the grass and everything. They're the hairs of his body, all over his body. And then if you look at the clouds, what is the cloud? The hair on his head. See? The hair on his head. If you look at the, honestly, I think I got some here, because every me might forget some of the aspect.
The birds
are his artistic sense. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes I look at documentary of the birds, really, and you see some birds, you're so amazed by the beautiful features. And I wonder, I say, how can evolution ever manifest all these variegatedness and these features? So beautifully designed. I mean, if you look at the colors and the intricacies of them, how they're designed, how they're shaped, and look at their actions during the mating season, look at their behavior. Look at the peacock, for example. Look at this, when it raises its tail there and open it out, really fluff up it. It's so beautiful and so magnificent. And then there's some other birds. There's some little birds, amazing things there. Even look at the little hummingbird. The hummingbird is so tiny, but look at the speed of its wing. Look how it would suspend itself, really. Which aircraft can actually do that? Or look at the butterfly. Or look at these. Look at a tiny mosquito. Look at the intricate features of them, the mystical powers of them, in one sense. You know, can we make an aircraft like a mosquito? I mean, you know, to thing like little mosquito. So look at the things that the Lord has on things. So we're saying the board is the artistic nature of the Lord. Then stated that the celestials, like the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, are his musical rhythm. See, the Gandharvas, when they start to sing, you know, or like when we have like when Keshava was singing sometimes in his days, you know, the Gandharvas, when you hear the music, the Apsaras, when they dance, you are astounded, you know, you're amazed by this beauty, the melody, you know. And so that part, then look at then he said that the animals, the elephant and the camels and the zebras and so, what are they? They are the nails of the Supreme. Who could tell that? They represent the nail of the Supreme. See? And then coming to his feature, they say his jaw is yama. His teeth are the art of affection. His smile is the material energy. His glance is material creation. When he glances, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing in the purport too, when he glances at material nature, it starts to obey and everything starts to fit in place. Just by the glance of the Supreme Lord. So powerful. See? Then, his chin is hankering, breast is religion, back is irreligion. The genitals is his generating features, his and Brahmaji. See? His waist is the ocean. Imagine that you look at the ocean and oh, that's the Virat Rup waist. Then his bones are the hills and the mountains. The veins are the rivers. His movement is the passing ages. Imagine that. The four ages moving, going and coming is the movement. So, isn't that wonderful? And then, of course, we said the eyes are the sun. See? Cerebral. Then the thing. So this Virat feature is, in one sense, is incomprehensible. And then he went on to say again that the brahmanas are his head, the kshatriyas are his arms, the vaishyas is his waist, his belly, and the sudras his legs. And then he went on to say again that the demigods are his arms. See? So all these, everything in existence is signifies some feature of this inconceivable Virat Rupa. See? And this whole chapter deals with the Virat Rupa. So even when we're given class, we have to be reminded of this really, that we're really focusing, because this is what the chapter is actually speaking about. You see, the features of the Virat Rup. And then Sukadeva Goswami went on to state that that there's nothing in this material. What does he say here? One who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind on this form of the Lord, because there is nothing more than this in the material world. But that's one thing. I mean, there's so many things. They always come and say these things. And so it's, so that's one aspect really. But we know that the Virat Rupa is not the only aspect. All these other aspects has to be taken into consideration. So before I end, I just want to mention something about my writing and my preaching online. Really, I've touched a million views, and if I surpass a million views into some thousands, so I have like a million and a few thousand views already in the preaching, which is good. Because if I was in Guyana barely have a half a million people. Even if I had traveled the whole Guyana and preached to everyone, I would have just touched half a million people. And just by preaching online, I already, you know, reached, which is very good by the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master and devotees. You know, I think it's a great achievement. And so I would like the preaching to move on to hit some more goals so that I could touch more souls. And if 50,000 or 100,000 even chant Hare Krishna once, that's an accomplishment. Out of that million, if 100,000 even say Hare Krishna once, it's something, you know, so thing. So that was really nice. So there was one thing, Srila Prabhupada was speaking about hitting something about the 80s here. And there was a question online that says about the 80s. So I want you guys to listen. He says, how should atheists and religionist people have their body disposed? So I attempt to answer it to you. I said, cremation severs the attachment the soul has for the body, which has housed it for a prolonged time. This allows the soul to traverse its karmic journey in a more composed way. So for most religious people, this would be the recommended path, cremation. Right? For a pure devotee of the Lord, his body is spiritualized and it can be preserved. But since the atheist has not risen from the animalistic propensity of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then his body can be disposed like the animals. This is a hard hit to the atheists, really. But you know, because they could be so mean with you, really, you know. So I mean, to hear this really good, really shocking. He has not matured enough to realize that there is a supreme creator. Let me go back to this. Since the atheist has not risen from the animalistic propensity of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then his body can be disposed just like the animals. He has not matured enough to realize that there is a supreme creator. You know? And in my preaching, half or most of my preacher is towards the scientists, you know, on science and everything. I mean, even most of my views I acquire from scientific preaching, you see. And so the atheists give the most resistance. They could be heavy and they could be real, you know. So when they hear something like this, this opens their eyes up. This wake them up, really. You know, their body can be disposed like the animal. Then they'll say, what? You know, because they really think themselves powerful, you know. But when you show them, they have not risen above the animal propensity, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They don't want to serve the Lord, you see. And that is what distinguishes man from animal. Service to the Lord, you see. So that was interesting. Anyhow, I beg your mercy and the mercy of everyone that's listening, you know, that are able to continue the preaching. And I hope that I have said something that we can imbibe, you know. So is there any comment or question or correction? Okay, well, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Thank you for being so...